Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay with me. It's going to be, as you well know, 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and it will be done with no manipulation. If you're listening to our show for the very first time in one of the markets that we broadcast in, welcome. And listen, you're going to learn something today. We're not here to recruit you. We're not here to ask you for money. We're not here to try to get you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. This show is about giving you something. It's called accurate information. And that information that we will give you comes from the scripture, from the canon, from the Bible. I know it's a show about the Bible, another one of those shows about the Bible, but a different show. No ranting, no raving, no jumping up and down. Just simply giving you the truth. And you must decide. If you can orient and adjust to this, if you can listen and learn and apply, and your life will never be the same again. You will begin a fantastic journey. It's called the spiritual life, living the spiritual life. And it's an amazing thing. You see, God has given us a spiritual life. If, in fact, you are a Christian, meaning that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there are two lives that you're living. You are living the physical life, without a doubt. You are growing older. You are getting heavier or thinner. And you're living a spiritual life, the same thing. Spiritually and physically, you are alive. Now, when the physical life terminates, as it must do, the spiritual life will continue on into heaven. Now, the physical life is noted by the body, but the spiritual life is noted by the soul. God has given you a soul, and inside of your soul there is mentality, which means you have the ability to think and logic and reason and comprehend. And to the extent that you can think in terms of vocabulary, in other words, you can say words, then you can have a reasonable conversation with someone. But if you don't have much of a vocabulary, then you're not going to be able to have a very good conversation. And so you have a mind, you have a mentality. And the Bible does say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So not only do we grow physically by exercising our mind, going to school, learning how to handle multiplication and addition and subtraction and learning how to read, learning how to do a lot of different things, but we also exercise our soul. And we learn how to think as the Lord Jesus Christ thought. Well, exactly how did he think? The Bible says he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Very interesting thing. The Christian that's going to glorify God to the max is not an arrogant person. Very seldom do you even hear pastors teach on arrogance. Arrogance is a devastating enemy to the Christian. The arrogant person always self-justifies his position. As a matter of fact, I can give you three examples of arrogance: self-justification, self-deception, and self-absorption. Self-justification, self-deception, self-absorption. When you go through those three stages, you always go to the fourth stage, which is self-destruction. Yes, you have the ability to destroy yourself by means of your own bad decisions. And thus, it's critical that we come to understand authority orientation. God has ordained authority, and that authority is designed to keep us from self-destructing. That's why God put it there. So one of the key things about understanding how your spiritual life functions is to understand authority orientation. And likewise, in your physical life, there is authority orientation as well. You cannot exist in this world without being able to take and handle authority. So let me give you some verses in regards to this. What I'm talking about is authority orientation has been ordained by God to keep you from self-destructing, to help you understand how you handle adversity and how you handle conflict in your life. So let's start with a verse like 1 Peter 2:13 and through verse 14. Here it says these words, "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." So we start off with a mandate to submit. Believers are required to submit ourselves to the ordinance of man. That means that God does not sponsor revolution. God does not sponsor revolution. And when you think about our war for independence, what is called the Revolutionary War, we did not seek to overthrow the throne of England. We simply sought to have freedom from England because we were getting taxation without any representation. And so we sought our freedom. But if you have revolution in a country, this is where you would have disgruntled individuals seeking to overthrow the government of that country. And freedom without authority is tyranny. I mean, it's crazy. It's anarchy. Excuse me. Freedom without authority is anarchy. And so you can't survive in a society like that. God has ordained authority. You may not like it. You may not appreciate it. But it's there. That's one verse. Now let me give you another verse, and then I'll tell you why this is critical. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And remember, these are believers under the control of Rome. Rome controlled things. The Jews were slaves to Rome. Remember that, don't you? Remember, they were persecuting Christians, killing Christians. Paul goes on to say, "There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." This simply means that any person that has authority over us as a nation has been allowed to be there by God. You understand that? You might not like it. You might not like him or her, but God allowed it. And you are not to try to overthrow that authority. You certainly have the right to vote. That's not a problem. You have a right to go to the poll and express your opinion. That's freedom. You do not have a right to foment a revolution. So the Bible goes on to say, "Whoever resists the powers resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment or damnation. For rulers are not a terror to those who do good works, but to the evil. Will you not be afraid of the power? So do that which is good, and you will have praise of the same. For he," that's the ruler, "is a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Because of this, you must be subject, not only for sake of the wrath, but also for your conscience. And for this cause you must pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due." That's why we would say, always following protocol, Mr. President, or Your Honor, or Mayor. We call people by their title because they are due that honor, that tribute. Now, authority. When we talk about authority, it's so critical to understand. Without authority, there's anarchy. And without authority, our nation cannot exist. So let me give you a definition of authority. Authority is defined as the power to command, the power to judge, the ability to act by a person or persons in whom that authority is vested. So, if we're talking about authority or different authorities, it applies to persons having legal power. That's legal power to make and enforce laws and to make policy and to make decisions. And you are under that authority in the human realm. You are under the authority of the police officer. You're under the authority of the courts. You're under the authority of the government. So we have the judicial and the executive and the legislative branch of government. These make up the authority within our nation. And authority can also be an accepted source of information. That's right. In the case of the authority of the pastor, as the Bible calls him, the pastor teacher. In Ephesians chapter 4, he's called in the Greek New Testament the poimen kai didaskalos, the shepherd and the teacher. But his job is to provide you the Word of God or enough theological information from the Bible to establish the authority of the Word of God in your life and his authority as a communicator of that scripture. Now, authority can be defined in terms of an expert on a subject. And let's talk about the laws of divine establishment. The laws of divine establishment. This is something God has ordained from the beginning of time. The laws of divine establishment is a legal power delegated by God where certain people have jurisdiction and responsibility for other people. And as in life, all authority is in two categories. There's legitimate authority, and there's illegitimate authority. And part of learning to handle life is how you handle authority that's not legitimate. When you are prosecuted for something you didn't do, whether it's in school or whether it's in life, if you get a ticket for something you didn't do and the police officer said, I clocked you going 70, and you said, no, I was going 55, that was the guy that passed me. So he makes a mistake and he writes you a ticket. Now you can handle it one or two ways. You can pay the ticket and keep your mouth shut and go on down the road. Or you can throw a little hissy fit. And you can complain and gripe and moan and groan. And you can take it to court and you may or you may not get off. I don't know. Authority is not perfect. That's what I'm saying. Authority will make mistakes. And part of growing up and having humility is the ability to handle unfair authority. And then there's illegitimate authority, people that have authority that is not recognized by God. But legitimate authority, I'm talking about the real stuff, it's always established according to Scripture. It's called the law of the land, the established rules, principles, or standards that we operate under. And God has delegated this authority in two categories. In the temporal realm and in the spiritual realm. In the temporal realm, our authority are the laws of divine establishment, freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. Freedom is the right for you to determine the course of your own life, apart from violating any law or any known authority. You have freedom to do that. God gives you that freedom. And privacy is your right to hold an opinion, or even to make a decision, or to engage in some action which other people cannot interfere with, as long as it doesn't violate their rights. So you have privacy. You have the privacy as an American to live your life as under the Lord, and nobody to stick their nose in your business. And you have the freedom to determine your own course in life. And you have sacredness of property. This is a known rule in the law of the land. Sacredness of property and sacredness of life means no one can steal your stuff and no one can kill you. That's against the law. And God sets up authority to enforce these laws, which are the guardians of your freedom, the guardian of your privacy, the guardian of your property in your life. And then there's the spiritual realm. And under this, there are spiritual laws for the function of a particular dispensation that we live in called the church. We live in the church. And spiritual freedom for the believer in the church begins with us being filled with the Holy Spirit, learning God's Word, and becoming free. So where did you get that? Well, listen to John 8:32. You shall know the truth. Know, that's learn it and apply it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Psalm 119, verse 45. I will walk in freedom, for I seek your doctrines. Again, the freedom is related to Scripture. Knowing the Scripture. Learning the Scripture. In Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So keep standing fast and do not become entangled again in the yoke of slavery. What does that mean? That means you have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you can submit yourself to the slavery of the flesh. You can submit yourself to obeying the lust of the flesh. You can submit yourself, you can become a slave to the lure of the world, or you can become a slave to the plan of Satan in your life. That's up to you. But this passage is saying Christ has set you free as a Christian. Don't go back. Don't become entangled again with this. So God has set up this authority, delegated authority, both in the Old and the New Testament. You know, God has authority over nature. Even nature obeys God. The Bible tells us this in Matthew 8:27. You remember Jesus telling the stormy sea to be still, and it got calm immediately? Angels are under the authority of God. They're subject to divine authority. They must obey God. And one of the problems that Jude talks about in the little small book of Jude is the angels that did not stay in their dominion, that violated the law of God and came to earth. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 6. And these are called the Nephilim. This is what the flood was all about. And this was a satanic effort to infiltrate the human race and stop the lineage of Jesus Christ from ever coming. It didn't work. So, angels are under authority. Nature's under authority. Government has authority over people. Here's one you might not like, but this is in the Scripture. I didn't make this up. The husband has the authority over his wife. The husband's authority over his wife provides great happiness in marriage. Category 2, love, marriage. Ephesians 5:22 is where this comes from. And I'll comment on this. Let me read it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Submit means to be under their authority. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, Ephesians 5, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, does this give the husband the right to abuse his wife? No. Does this give the husband the right to be a bully to his wife? No. But this is saying that when things go wrong, God holds someone responsible, and the responsible party is the male. And so, ladies, you are protected in marriage. That's what that's all about. You are protected in marriage by your husband. His job is to protect you, and his job is to answer to God for everything that goes on in that relationship. Your job is to love him, cherish him, and obey him. Yes. Now, that if he tells you to go rob the liquor store, you don't have to do that. This doesn't mean you have to violate the laws of God. But if it comes down to a decision that you and your husband have to make together, then the final word has to be his decision. I didn't make that up. I just read it to you from the Bible. But in our society today, in our progressive society today, this is laughed at. This is spurned. This is demonized and marginalized, and you can't believe how this would cause such hatred. And this is where the whole feminist movement got started, with something like this. I'm not going to obey my husband. Well, I understand if you have a jerk for a husband, I wouldn't want to obey him either. But if you have a loving husband, that loves you, cherishes you, protects you, honors you, then you should obey him. Parents have authority over their children. A lot of kids don't like that. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. Now, isn't it interesting that a wife could say, I'm all for that one, children, obey your parents, but she could say, I'm not for that Ephesians 5:22 one, wives, submit yourself to your husband. Do you pick and choose which scriptures you want to obey? Can't do that. You're going to get under discipline from God. See, as a believer, we are to be filled with the Spirit. And if we're filled with God's Holy Spirit, then we grow by learning His mandates and obeying them in our life. And the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you know this passage, and you understand what I just read to you about wives obey your husbands, or submit yourself to your husbands, and then you deliberately say, I'm not going to obey that, that's crazy. You're disobeying God. That's between you and God. I'm not in the middle of it. That's between you and God. Just like if a child says, I am not going to obey my mama, I'm not going to obey my daddy, I'm going to do what I want to do. The motivator of both of those is arrogance. A wife will justify why she doesn't have to obey her husband, and a child will justify why he doesn't have to obey his parents. And if a child gets out of line, then we discipline our children. God squared away about that. We understand that. And when we get out of line, God disciplines us. Hebrews chapter 12. Those whom he loves, he disciplines. You can read about it. Hebrews 12, 6 through 15. Read it for yourself. There's nothing like God taking you to the woodshed. It's not ever fun. But sometimes our Father, our Heavenly Father, has to give us an attitude adjustment. What does that mean? It means by discipline, he breaks our arrogance and brings us back to humility, where we respect his word and we respond to his authority. And that's what a child must do. He must respect the authority of his parents and respond to that authority. Teachers have authority over students. Coaches have authority over athletes. I remember playing football at Alabama, and Bear Bryant, the authority that he had. And if Bear Bryant walked into the locker room before practice at the University of Alabama, it got as quiet as a church. I mean, because of his authority. Management has authority over labor. Not today. No labor wants to tell management what to do, even though labor has no vested interest. Labor hadn't invested any money. Labor just says, I want more money, and I'm not going to work, and I'm not going to do this if you don't pay me more money. And there's a whole lot in the Bible about that. So management has authority over labor. If you work for someone, you are under contract, you agree to a price, that's what you work for. And if you can't handle it, go get another job somewhere else. Authority in business stabilizes the economy. And that's what you have to remember. There's always authority in business, a boss. And there's always authority in the military. There's always authority in law enforcement. So authority is God's delegated authority. God delegates authority so that you can use your self-determination, your freedom, to make your decisions in life. In regards to, number one, do you want to accept Christ as Savior or not? Do you believe what the Bible says? You're responsible for that. And your self-determination is the authority in your soul. I'm going to say that one more time. Your self-determination is the authority in your soul. You will do what your self-determination tells you to do. So if your self-determination says, do not believe in Jesus Christ, that's all a joke and it's not real, then you're not going to accept Christ. Or if your self-determination says, you know, God may be real and that Jesus stuff might be real and I don't want to take a chance and wind up in the lake of fire, I'm going to accept Christ as my Savior. Now, that's not a very good rationale for accepting Christ, but it's better than none. So you must determine the future of your life and the future of your soul. You have freedom to do that. God gives you freedom. And then God gives marriage as a divine institution. And in marriage, the husband has the authority over the wife. In freedom, self-determination has authority over the soul. In the family, the authority is the parents over the children. And in nationalism, the government is the authority over the citizens. So here's a couple of principles I want to leave you with today. The most awful and awesome mistake that anyone can make is to reject lawful authority. To reject lawful authority, especially the authority of parents. Because your attitude towards authority will determine whether or not you're ever going to grow up. If you reject authority consistently, and especially as a young person, you can destroy society. What we have in America today, if you will look at it, we have a nation full of anti-authority. Anti-authority. They don't like the authority of the police officer, don't like the authority of the politician, don't like the authority of the military, don't like the authority of the home. And this is all satanic. Authority is attacked at every area. Take a look at it and look at your own life. The rejection of legitimate authority in government is destructive. The rejection of authority of the teacher, of the coach, is destructive. The rejection of all authority in your life means you have the potential to become a criminal and a miserable person. And nobody wants to be around a miserable person, a person who's arrogant and can't handle authority. And they're always running their mouth and popping off at the mouth about what they might or might not do. Authority carries responsibility. And if you reject it, you're going to have a life of misery. You're going to have a life of unhappiness. You're going to be a walking disaster. And you will have no human self-esteem. No spiritual self-esteem. You're just going to be a loser all your life. Because you want to set the rules. You want to run the show. Oh, by the way, isn't that what Satan did in eternity past when he decided he wanted to take over God's throne and run the show? And you saw where that got him, didn't you? I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.